Hello, I'm Lenore Moudou. Welcome to Health Chat. On the show today, we will discuss mental health. Every year, the world commemorates World Mental Health Day on October 10th to bring attention to mental health and raise support for patients. The United Nations says Africa needs to combat a suicide rate that is the highest in the world, yet remains widely unrecognized and often stigmatized. Six of the 10 countries with the greatest suicide rates in the world are in Africa, and around 11 people per 100,000 per year die by suicide in the African region, higher than the global average of 9 per 100,000 people, according to the World Health Organization. And stigma is a key problem, as is lack of funding. WHO has launched a suicide prevention campaign in Africa to raise awareness and mobilize the support of governments and decision makers for more attention and funding towards programs dedicated to mental health. Meanwhile, the organization has published new guidelines on mental health at work. WHO says about 12 billion work days are lost annually worldwide due to depression and anxiety. The new guidelines recommend actions to tackle risks to mental health in the workplace, such as heavy workloads, negative behaviors, and other factors that create distress at work. An organization based in the United States is working to break the stigma of mental illness in the African community. The organization, Africans for Mental Health, focuses on mental health education, advocacy, and policy engagement, among other things. Earlier, I spoke to the sisters who established the organization along with their family. Sally Nyambita Oport is founder and chief advocacy officer of Africans for Mental Health, and Joanne Oport is CEO of Africans for Mental Health. Take a listen. Joanne Oport and Sally Nyambita Oport, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
You are two sisters working and engaged in the area of mental health. Your organization is called Africans for Mental Health. Let me start with you, Joanne Oport. Can you tell us the mission of the organization?
Our mission at Africans for Mental Health is to break the stigma of mental illness in the African community. And when we really looked at the mission, at the beginning we said the African diaspora, and that has since expanded to include Afro descent, African Americans, Africans in Africa, Latin African, Afro-Latinas, Afro-Caribbeans, anyone who can say that they come from the continent or they came through the continent of Africa.
Sally, as the chief advocacy officer and founder as well, why was it important to start such a foundation?
Well, it really started mainly because of me. I am a mental health patient, so in order for us as patients, for our voice to be heard, we need an advocate. So for me to be an advocate, it's easier for someone to say, okay, you know what, I need help. And for that's why we started this foundation.
And you say you are a mental health patient. If you are okay talking about it, what area? Because mental health is vast.
I have depression, I have anxiety, I have panic attacks.
When we talk about mental health in Africa, right, the typical image that we see, Joanne, is these people that are walking down the street. I don't know if it's like that for you in your part of the continent, but certainly in my country, in my region, when we talk about mental illness, people tend to think about the people who walk on the street. Sometimes they are naked and, you know, they're just not well. But mental illness has so many faces, so many variations. Talk to us about the importance of raising awareness about mental illness among Africans.
So actually what you raise is really amazing, because when it comes to the stigma or the fear around mental illness, the first instinct is to think that the person you're seeing, who is in crisis in most cases, if you're seeing them walking around, maybe they don't have any clothes on, maybe they are in crisis, right? They are living with an undiagnosed mental illness, and they're living in crisis at that point. But mental illness in and of itself is usually not visible unless you know some of the key symptoms of what that looks like. And all of us, whether you are a mental health professional, and we are not mental health professionals at Africa's Mental Health as the co-founders, we are advocates and mental health patients and caregivers. And so it could be depression where you see someone living in isolation who has been going through so much or is having a panic attack, as Sally expressed, she lives with anxiety. You know, it could be someone who's living with a substance abuse, meaning they, you know, abuse alcohol because of as part of their illness. You know, it could be opioid use. It could be, you know, marijuana use. It could be someone who's living with an eating disorder, like a bulimia or an anorexia, where you either you binge the food and you puke it out, or you don't eat. Right. So there are very different kinds of mental illnesses around. And the last time we checked, there's 300 kinds, 300, according to DSMV. We could be corrected on that. And so for us as individuals, we should take an interest in learning about the types of symptoms that could be visible in someone who's living with mental illness, mm-hmm. not because we want to diagnose the person, but because we want to offer help. So if you see someone walking around the street and they're naked, rather than laughing at them and creating a bigger stigma around what they're going through, maybe trying to find them help could be an avenue of that.
Stigma is such a big problem, and I know that's one of the things that you focus with your organization, as your mission talks about breaking the stigma of mental illness in the African community. And Sally, what was your experience like when it came to you realizing that you had a problem and disclosing it?
It was tough at first. I didn't accept it. I did not accept it at all. It took me a while. It took me a lot of therapy visits and group therapy visits, mm-hmm. in order to be able to accept saying, okay, you know what, Sally? You have depression. You're African. It's okay. You're not supposed to have depression, you know?
You know, it's such an important point you're making, because a lot of times when we think about depression and think that, oh no, Africans don't have depression, right? I used to think that as well. But then we see it in the African community, whether it's in the West or on the continent. Talk to us about this experience with depression among Africans, and either one of you, please share what in your work you've been able to observe.
So in terms of depression, or in terms of just mental illness, what we've observed is individuals living with illnesses that aren't diagnosed. Their families don't want other people to know they're living with this illness. They don't want to tell people that they're living with this illness. And sometimes it gets to a point where they're not able to get the help. And there's also criticism, especially when it comes to suicide, death by suicide, right? So in our community, we've seen where we see posts on social media where someone is crying out for help. And the first instinct is sometimes for some people to just make light of the cry for help, or tell the person, what can we do to help you? And so, like, going a step farther and trying to reach out to the connections that they might have to try and get them the help that they need. Because when somebody posts on social media that I'm going through something and I need help, you know, just responding on social media sometimes is not sufficient enough, mm-hmm. right? And so the stigma around being able to talk about the illness, the stigma around even work in the workplace, for example, you're living with a mental illness, maybe you need some reasonable accommodation from work, and you can't even tell your HR that this is what you're living with, out of fear that you might lose your job, you know, right. Out of fear that, you know, your supervisor might not work with you based on maybe you need a particular type of work schedule. So what we've been doing at Africans for Mental Health is do awareness conversations. We do conversation series on Tuesdays and Friday and Saturdays, which is actually Sally's portfolio. So I'm going to let her talk about that, since she's the advocacy officer.
All right, Sally. So what does the advocacy work looks like?
So we mainly have either psychologists, we have psychiatrists, we also have counselors, we have therapists, we have lived experience, and we have lived experience patients, and we also have, what is the word?
Caregivers.
Yes, we have to have caregivers, because it's important, because caregivers are not noticed and commended for what they do. So, and we do it in terms of individual types of mental illness.
Right.
So the lived experience or the mental health conversation series with a mental health provider or an advocate, and the caregivers conversation series is really us bringing in those key stakeholders that we've identified at Africans for Mental Health to talk about, for example, depression. They can talk about bipolar depression in children. They talk about bipolar depression in adults. They might talk about eating disorders, meaning like bulimia. They might talk about substance abuse, like alcohol use disorder. They might talk about grief, right? So we've had over 40 conversation series about different types of mental illnesses. And we've bridged the gap by bringing individuals who look like you and me to come down on social media on our Zoom account and highlight these different kinds of mental illnesses and engage with the community. So we've had speakers from Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, South Africa, Nigeria. We've had people who are working in Jamaica, working on mental illnesses. We've had speakers from here within the United States. Mm-hmm. So what we do is we engage with people who are like-minded to come in and talk about mental illness, because a lot of the conversation around mental health has really not included us Africans, right? So you go to a conference on mental health, and most of those panel speakers don't look like you and me. And at Africans for Mental Health, we just really wanted to make sure that to break the stigma is to show people that individuals who look like you and me, who might be mental health providers, who might be caregivers with loved ones living with mental illness, who might be living with mental illness, like Fabi has alluded to, can talk really as we are right now at the table and bring it to a conversation that is not so high value, high profile, where you don't understand the words, mm-hmm. but to something where if my grandmother in Uyoma was listening to it, she would say, okay, I now understand.
You are listening to Health Chat on Voice of America. It's time for a short break. We'll have more on my interview with sisters Joanne Oport and Sally Nyambita Oport with the Africans for Mental Health in a moment. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Health Chat. On the show today, we are discussing mental health. My guests are two sisters, Sally Nyambita Oport, founder and chief advocacy officer of the nonprofit organization Africans for Mental Health, and Joanne Oport. She is the CEO of the organization Africans for Mental Health.
When you talk about stigma in the African community in particular, does it look like stigma in the West, for example, among the whites, or are there specific to the African community? For example, I know that one of the things that a lot of time we hear about is, oh, maybe it's witchcraft, voodoo, and things like that.
Right. So it is different because it's more as far as like Umerogwa. You've been cursed.
That's so, in Swahili.
That's in Swahili. Umerogwa. And back in, when I was growing up, you would go to the, you just hear like people like in the crowd saying like, oh, you're going to Madari. Madari is a hospital for mental health patients in Kenya. And that nobody wanted to go there, really, because you were considered psychotic. So, and you were considered crazy. In layman's terms, Kichaka Maruka, your head has gone crazy. Mm. Your head has gone mad. So for me as a patient, it's different because as far as the Westerns, they're a little bit more open to speak about what's going on with them than us as Africans. But whenever you're in the hospital, you don't want to talk to the doctor because you're in the hospital. You're like, why am I in here? You don't want to be in there. You just want to be out. You want to go home. You want your own space. You're in a facility where you're locked in. You understand? So you don't want to be locked in. So
yeah. One of the stigma is also, you know, when you talk about the psychiatric hospital,
right?
In a long time ago, they would just you would be found to have living with mental illness, and they would leave you in the hospital, like your mm-hmm. loved ones would just leave you there, right? So it was and the way it's framed is like you're almost like in prison with
right.
your own illness,
yeah.
which I think for us or for me, it creates a bigger stigma when you think about it. Like you're locked in, you're put on hold. And granted, there's some reasons behind that, but the illusion that, you know, or the fact that when when you have to go through the hospital, sometimes you have to be restrained mm-hmm. as a patient, and that creates a lot of stigma for you as an individual living with mental illness, and for your caregiver who's observing that experience, right. It creates a huge exactly. stigma. So here in the West, definitely they're more open. Even in the movies, like if you watch the movies, Western movies, they always talk about, I'm going to therapy, I have to see my psychiatrist. In our communities, if we say to someone that I have a therapy session every Monday at 1 o'clock, somebody will be like, what's the problem? Can Why? We just not pray about it? Can you not talk to me about it?
Prayer, and, right?
Right, prayer. And while prayer is very important, we have to learn to stay in our lane. Just the same way, like if someone is diagnosed with cancer, you're not going to just say, let's pray about the cancer. You're going to tell the person to go see the doctor to get the medical care. Mm-hmm. And at Africans for Mental Health, we want people to be comfortable to say, I am going to see a doctor because I need this type of level of medical care. Because I'm living with a mental illness doesn't define who I am, but I would like to get the help. If you see someone touching their heart and the first thing is the instinct is, you know, they may be experiencing a heart attack, you will call 911, right? But when it comes to mental illness,
it could be a panic attack.
It could be anything else. And
or anxiety.
Anxiety. And we've yes. learned, to me, when I think of mental illness, it's such a painful illness. And why I say painful is because you can't really learn or see what that person is experiencing. For example, if the person is going through a mental illness crisis, you observe it, but you don't know how they're truly feeling. For us as human beings, we should just offer each other compassion, just like we offer for someone who's living with diabetes or living mm-hmm. with I have an eye issue, I have a cough, COVID, you know, for example. We offer so much compassion around that. Right. But when it comes to mental illness, we're not as compassionate.
So then what sorts of impact have you been able to see through your organization?
We started five, six years ago. And the impact we have right now is we have about 10,000 followers on Facebook right now. And we have about, I don't know what we have on Instagram. I would say
this is like almost 2,000. But in terms of the impact, I just want to piggyback on the fact that when we started this organization, we started it as a family. So my parents, Philemon and Doreen Oport, Sally, myself and Yvonne started this company as a family. And it was initially we were looking on how are we going to navigate this space? How are we going to do this work? We set it out by doing walks on mental health. And Sally was the one who was leading the walks with National Alliance on Mental Illness. And so we do walks in Texas and we do walks in Maryland. And as time went by, we started seeing people following us on social media. We designed this amazing logo as the co-founders. And the minute we posted it on social media, our scope of work changed from just African diaspora. We had Africans in Africa inboxing us, telling us, do you have an office locally? Are you hiring? Can we volunteer? Mm-hmm. Can we come and speak? And so for us, that tells us that the impact of me just is vast. We have people who come in on our talks who share their own narratives live on Facebook. Like when you go back to our Facebook at Africans for Mental Health and you click on all of our live streams and replay the conversations we've had, you can hear other people talking about their types of mental illnesses. And that's really profound.
It touches your heart.
Right.
It's just eye-opening also, and it's sympathetic, really.
Right.
It's empathetic as well.
Mm-hmm. And we're now a registered nonprofit, so
yes, we are.
We got our official documents from the federal government this year, and so now we are able to, you know, compete for grants
and accept donations.
Yay. And expand our work. Scope of work has, like we said, as a small organization where we've been funding Africans for Mental Health, both in terms of our labor and our money. But now we are looking forward to seeing more people become more involved. And we're so grateful to all of our speakers who've joined us from all over the world to speak about mental illness. Because as long as we're getting speakers who speak as lived experience or as mental health providers or as caregivers, we are in that space raising awareness about mental illness. We are in that space breaking the stigma of mental illness. And look at us today. And also look at us. You know, who would have thought that we would be on Voice of America? That tells us that our impact is growing, right? That
now we are seen not only just as a nonprofit or as we are seen as key stakeholders. We make public testimony about mental illness regulations in the states. For example, here in the state of Maryland, I've made public testimony on behalf of the African community in terms of them defining what the danger standard is. So the danger standard is where the person comes in, whether you call, when you call 988, which is a number for mental illness, and you call 911 and you, or 911, and you call in for that person who's going through mental illness crisis, and they come in and they have to evaluate if that person is a danger to themselves or a danger to others. Meaning, are they, you know, are they having suicide ideation, for example, or do they need to be provided additional care because they're going through a mental illness crisis? We spoke about that and said, what are the challenges we are experiencing as African diaspora, which includes access to care. It includes culturally competent care. You might be admitted in a hospital and there's no one who's there to really understand your culture, and they treat you differently because of you're not born here in the United States.
These are such great points that you made. And before we wrap, let me have your final thoughts. In terms of your work, or maybe the way that mental health is being addressed now, do you have a message? What would you like to see, perhaps? Let me start with you, Tali.
I would like to see in hospitals have for the patients to receive better care, more sympathy, more empathy, less violence, as far as less friction, less hands-on, per se, from persons. That's what I would like to see.
And let me ask you a follow-up question. How has this journey helped you with your personal health? With starting this nonprofit organization, you're out there advocating. How has that helped you every day?
It's tough. But I make it through every day. I wake up sometimes and I'm like, can I make it? And I'm like, yes, I can make it. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ. So I can do all things. That's mine to go with every day.
One day at a time, right?
One day at a time. One day at a time. And that's exactly what I go by. One day at a time. Progress over perfection. Because you cannot, you can only make it better. You can't change the past. You can always change the future. So one day at a time.
Thank you so much for sharing your story. And to you, Joanne, what would you like to see?
I would love to see us as Africans engaged in this conversation around mental illness and become more compassionate, as Sally is talking about, but also to leave the mantra that we have at Africans for Mental Health. So at Africans for Mental Health, we have this mantra. And the mantra is, I am Africans for Mental Health, and my journey to mental wellness is. And when we thought about the mantra, we wanted to make it where every individual who would read that mantra would understand that every day you could be experiencing a mental illness issue. You could be experiencing a mental illness condition. And how do you work on your wellness as an individual? So we always ask people to read the statement that we're making and complete it based on them. And it shifts every time. So for me, for example, I am Africans for Mental Health, and my journey to mental wellness is setting healthy boundaries. And that's what we want people to live with every day, is to think through your mental health as something, it's part and parcel of you. Your physical health is something you think about almost every day. You want to work out, you want to go eat healthy. But what about your mental health? What are you doing to alleviate your anxiety? Are you doing some deep breathing? Are you seeing a therapist? Are you seeing a psychiatrist, right? And often we live in the fear, and I'm hoping and praying for us as Africans to be more confident to talk about mental illness. You know, COVID really brought it to the forefront. People have experienced anxiety, fear of like death, and they all experienced that. All of us lived through the anxiety of COVID and depression as well. We put on weight. You know, we learned that we don't want to be so isolated from the world, right? And it showed us how individuals who live with mental illness, how they might experience life, right? How painful that could be. So I would love to see us fund more of organizations working on mental health, join hands with, you know, media like you to really raise awareness about mental illness in the African community. And really bridge that gap. Make it something that there's no fear around talking about it.
That's important. There shouldn't be any fear around talking about mental health. Joanne Oport and Sally Oport, thank you so much, ladies. It was such a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for giving us this opportunity. We are so grateful.
Sally Nyambita Oport, founder and chief advocacy officer of the nonprofit organization Africans for Mental Health, and Joanne Oport, CEO of African for Mental Health, speaking with us. For more information on the Africans for Mental Health organization, visit the website at africansformentalhealth.org. That's africansformentalhealth.org. You can also follow them on social media on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Africans for Mental Health.
The Gambia has launched an urgent door-to-door campaign to remove cough and cold syrups from households and store shelves in the tiny West African country. The syrups are being blamed for the death of more than 60 children. Paul Ndiho has more.
Gambian President Adama Barrow promised his country would boost health measures, including better quality control over imported medicine, after the mysterious death of dozens of children. Barrow says 66 children have died in the past 3 months from acute kidney failure, with fears that imported cough syrups are to blame.
Government will leave no stone unturned to get to the bottom of this incident. I urge you, however, to be vigilant enough to ensure that all medicines sold or used are safe and effective.
The wave of death from acute kidney injury has shocked the country of 2.4 million people, with the World Health Organization issuing an alert over 4 cough and cold syrups made by Median Pharmaceuticals in India over possible links to the death. In the village of Sirakunda, Aliyu Kijara mourned the loss of his son Muhammad.
So Muhammad was sick of a fever. That's how it starts. Then we went to the hospital. You know, it falls on Thursday, you know. So he was given some medications. Then we came back.
The 2-year-old's death was one of the many recent child deaths in Gambia related to acute kidney injuries. The Gambian Red Cross Society, the Ministry of Health, has dispatched hundreds of young people to collect suspect syrups through a house-to-house campaign.
It is a very, very concerning moment, a very sad moment, a moment that we should have a national day of mourning, regardless of where you belong, regardless of who you are. This is all as a result of incompetence. This is all as a result of an administration that really does not just care about the welfare of its people.
The WHO issued a medical product alert for 4 contaminated medicines identified in the country that have been potentially linked to acute kidney injuries and the 66 child death. While the contaminated products in the Gambia have been detected, they also may have been distributed to other countries, according to the World Health Organization.
The loss of these young lives is beyond heartbreaking for their families. The 4 medicines are cough and cold syrups produced by Maiden Pharmaceuticals Limited in India. WHO is conducting further investigation with the company and regulatory authorities in India.
WHO says counterfeit drugs are dead and a growing problem. With a global market roughly of $200 billion, fake drugs are the most lucrative, and Africa accounts for nearly 42% of the world cases. Paul Ndiho, VOA News, Washington.
That's all for this edition of Health Chat. For more health news and medical breakthroughs, visit voaafrica.com. Thank you all for joining us, and special thanks to all our affiliate stations throughout Africa for carrying Health Chat. I'm your host, Linor Mudu, in Washington, with producer Mokbil Yabaro. Until next time, take care, stay safe, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
This is Heidi Adams, host of Straight Talk Africa. Join me to explore what is now and what is next for African society, culture, and politics. We'll go behind the headlines to analyze the news and emerging trends shaping Africa today. Straight Talk Africa. Every